Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Somebody shout, I'm hungry. Matthew chapter 9. I'm not even going to preach long. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Turn with me to verse 18. Matthew 9, verse 18. When you have it, say amen. Come on, you ready? Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died. My daughter is now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made well. I shall be made whole. Verse 22. But Jesus turned himself around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. And I want to pause right here. The Bible talks about in the beginning of the verse we just read, the Bible says that Jesus was approached by a ruler, was approached by a man whose daughter had just died. And this man came to Jesus and asked Jesus to come back with him to lay hands on his dead daughter. You can keep playing. He did not, or what we find in this verse was that this man had a real problem, an insurmountable problem, death. But instead of giving up, come on. Instead of losing all hope, Jesus. He heard about Jesus and how this man raises people from the dead. And so the Bible says that he went and found Jesus and asked Jesus to come. He said, and if you lay your hands on my daughter, I know she will get back up. Jesus. Talk about faith. Now watch this. Jesus was on his way to the man's house. And a curveball comes in the picture. He's on his way to this man's house. And all of a sudden, a woman runs up behind him. He wasn't looking for her. He wasn't going to pray for her. He wasn't going to minister to her. But this woman comes from behind, having a conversation with herself, because she also has a problem. She has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And when you read other gospel accounts, the Bible says how this woman went to the doctors and the doctors couldn't help her. The medicine they were giving her wasn't helping her. Nothing was working for her. And when she heard about Jesus, she said within herself, I'm going to go and find him. And if I just touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. Jesus looks back when she touched him on his way. The Bible says, Jesus looked around and said, cheer up. Because whose faith made her whole? Jesus' faith? Her friend's faith? Bible says her own faith made her well. I'm going to get back to that. Let me keep reading. Verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but she is sleeping. And they laughed at him, or they ridiculed him. Now, the Bible says that according to the pattern of or the tradition, the people were already beginning the preparations for her death. They brought in the minstrels. Those are musicians. In other books, you see they talk about the flute players and those who had the timbrels. They were playing music as a sound to say that she was no longer here. Jesus walks into the room and says, no, that sound is wrong.
Come on, Jesus.
That's the wrong sound.
Hallelujah.
That's a dead sound. That's not the sound that I'm releasing at this hour. She's not dead. She's sleeping. You know, they say at the end of the game, the fat lady starts singing because the game is over. It's not over till the fat lady sings. In this moment, it was not over. And there are some things that you can begin to count out in your life that you begin to say it's dead. But it's not dead, it's just sleeping.
Come on.
There are things in your life that are dormant that you think is dead, but it's not dead, it's just sleeping.
Jesus.
There are gifts on the inside of you that you think are dead. It's not dead, it's just dormant.
Jesus.
There are dreams on the inside of you that you think are dead, but God says, no, it's not dead. It's just sleep.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Watch this. Jesus tells the family and tells the band and the musicians, get out. See, we got a living band.
Hallelujah.
So they can keep playing. They're releasing resurrection sound. Resurrection music. You don't think music is important?
Come on. Come on.
You don't think music is essential?
Very.
There's a reason why I allowed us to worship a little longer today. And I allowed us to release a sound today. Because I know what God is about to release in your life.
Come on.
Come on. And the sound set the atmosphere.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Genesis 1, the Bible says, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the deep, hovering over the face of the deep. Nothing was on the planet yet. It was void. It was formless. It was dark. But then the Bible says, God shows up and releases a sound and says, let there be light. Nothing could have been created until a sound was released. And there's some words you can't even release without the right atmosphere. So that's why the Spirit of God had to keep moving and hovering, because he was setting the atmosphere. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to come and hover over you, and you spend time waiting in his presence, allowing him to just hover without rushing, just waiting. What you allow him to do is set the atmosphere, because certain revelation can't be released in certain temperatures. You need a certain atmosphere to release certain truths. So some revelation I can't even preach yet until we get into the right level of worship. That means there's some miracles you can't even see yet until we get into the right atmosphere. Creative miracles happen in the right atmosphere.
Yes.
Hands on them. They were just sitting. And I'm talking to you as someone who's seen people healed without anybody laying hands on them. They were just sitting in a room like this, waiting in worship. And then all of a sudden, a person screams and says, the lump that was in my breast is gone.
Hallelujah.
The growth that was in my stomach, I don't feel it anymore.
Hallelujah.
Remember this lady, she was in one of our worship experiences. And she just got up and went to the bathroom, didn't think anything of it. But she said while she was in worship, she felt that her shirt, because she had a growth in her stomach. I didn't know. No one knew. And she felt that her shirt was more loose than when she came in. So she ended up going to the bathroom just to check. And the growth that was in her stomach during worship, it vanished. It was gone. That's real. How many of you want to see miracles in your life? Come on. Are you guys tired of just church as usual? I am.
Yes. Come on. Hallelujah.
I understand that the supernatural is not always spectacular. It doesn't always mean chairs flipping over and people's weaves hanging off their head at the end of service. And your eyelashes are falling off. You lose a heel. All right? I know it doesn't have to be all of that, but there is a difference, an experience when you encounter the power of God. We talk about power. If you touch water, you get wet. There's evidence. If you touch fire, you get burned. There's evidence. If you touch God, you change. If you touch God, you are transformed. When you touch God, you are healed. The woman didn't even touch Jesus. She touched his clothes. And her hemorrhaging, her difficult situation, it took 12 long years, that the doctors couldn't help. The medicines couldn't help. But you know what happens today, Adrian? Many of us are becoming content with what helps us, but not what heals us. People are settling for what helps them, but not what heals them. Right? Anybody want to be healed? Saved, delivered.
Hallelujah.
We need salvation, the Bible says. The Bible tells us we need to be saved. The world tells you you need help. The Bible says you need to be saved. Somebody could be drowning in an ocean, and I can ride my safety boat up to them, and I can help them. But the question is, what kind of help am I giving them? I could throw a raft out to them. I could throw a little life jacket out to them. But to save them, I got to literally take them out of that ocean and bring them to shore. That's the only time they're completely safe. Are you following me? Weed may help you. Who am I preaching to? Sipping liquor may help you take your mind off your problems, but that's not helping you. That's not healing you. Weed will never heal a person. Come on. Medicines may help you, but it won't heal you. You're not healed by medicine. Why? Because unless your body gets truly restored to the state that it's supposed to be, it'll continue to break down and wither. And the medicines will simply make another part of your body work. Medicines don't even heal you. They help you. Are you following me? So watch this. Jesus goes into this room and tells this man, well, he gets everybody out the room. Verse 25, but when the people were put forth, he went in. The one who everybody thought was dead, Jesus had a different perspective, said she's sleeping, took her by the hand. But notice what he had to do, right? He got all of the unbelievers out the room. He got all the people that arrived to the conclusion that there was nothing left, that the situation was long gone. He got all those people out the room, the doubters, the unbelievers. He got them out, and then he raised her up from the dead.
Yeah.
So be careful of the company you keep. Be careful of the people you allow yourself to be surrounded by. If they ain't talking like this, they're going to talk you out of faith. They're going to talk you out of your miracle.
Come on.
Jesus even knew that. He got everybody out the room, picked her up. And the Bible says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now watch this. Here's the one thing God told me to tell you today. As we conclude this You Can Be Healed series, I want you to notice two things that happened. In both of these instances, watch this. The ruler whose young daughter died, he went to Jesus for the breakthrough that he wanted to see. The woman with the issue of blood, she went to Jesus and her faith made her whole. There are 20 instances in the New Testament, while Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people, the Bible says in the book of John, at the end of the book, that if they were to record every single miracle, every single healing, or every single deliverance that Jesus did in his 3 years, there would not be enough books in the world to record everything he did. So when you read the New Testament, you're not reading everything Jesus ever did. You're just reading the most significant accounts, the most paradigm-shifting moments in the disciples' lives. These healings and these miracles that are recorded, these had the most profound impact on the disciples that they felt so compelled about that they had to write about this one. So there's only about 20 that is written in all of the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read about all of them, most of them, with the exception of those who were demoniacs, those who were demon-possessed, when you look at the healing accounts that happened, you look at all of the accounts, blind Bartimaeus, the two blind men, all of these people who received miraculous healings, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus went to them. The Bible says that they went to Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus called on them. They called on him. And this is where a lot of Christians, this is where a lot of Christians miss it. Watch this. God said, these people didn't just believe. Because here's what Jesus said. When this woman touched the hem of his garment, he said, your faith made you whole. So that means when Jesus saw faith, faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. You can see faith. Now watch this. What did faith look like in this account? This woman just said, wasn't sitting down somewhere saying, oh, I believe Jesus could heal me. And if he's ready to heal me, he'll call me out. He'll call me out. He knows all things. He's omniscient. When he's ready to heal me and deliver me, the Spirit will come into my room. I'll have a vision, and then I know it's time for me to be healed. That's not what happened, did it?
No.
No, the Bible says she got up with her bleeding self, wrapped herself up, broke all protocol. Broke the ceremonial laws of Moses, because when you're bleeding, you're not supposed to be around men. according to the Mosaic law. You're unclean. You're defiled. You have to wait until your blood flow stops before you can get around men. This woman broke the law to get healed. Come on. Her reputation, her entire life, she put it all on the line. She could care less what everybody else had to say. I spent all my money for 12 years trying to get a breakthrough. Jesus is in my area. I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. Come on, this is my moment. I'm going to grab hold of it. Jesus said when he saw her faith, he didn't see her breaking the law. He didn't see her breaking the rules. He saw her faith.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Woo. So here's what happens. Jesus said to tell you, you're believing, but you're not pursuing. You are believing in me, but you're not pursuing me. We think faith is just believing that something is going to happen. Let me bust your bubble. Faith is not believing. Faith is not believing. Believing is in faith, is a part of faith, but that's not all that faith is. This woman didn't just believe Jesus could heal her. She went and she pursued her healing. This is the difference. You can come to church and believe that God can heal. But the question is, are you going to pursue your healing? The Bible says all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Right? We've heard that. The promises of God are yes. And amen for every single one of you. So permission is not the problem. We already know we have permission. So what's the problem? Our pursuit and our perspective. Mark 6, the Bible talks about when Jesus went back to his hometown. And when he went back to his hometown, he wanted to share with his people what he was getting to share with other people out of town. Right? We know the account. Mark 6, the Bible says that when Jesus went back to his hometown, the people looked at him and said, after they heard him teaching, and they were astonished at his revelation, and they were astonished at his teachings. And then the Bible says that they look back and say, wait a minute, isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't he the son of the carpenter? I want us to look at that real quick. Mark 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, And of Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And the Bible says, and so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now watch this. The Bible says he could not work any mighty miracles there because they did not, the principle of him. The principle of faith. The principle of faith. They could not, Jesus, this is Jesus, the anointed one, the miracle worker, the dead raiser, could not do any miracles. Why? Because they didn't give him any faith to work with.
Come on, Jesus.
Now, how was their faith missing? The Bible says, because they didn't honor him. It doesn't matter how anointed I am. All that matters is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? See, this is why I'm teaching you now that in the kingdom of God, in the economy of God, all can heal the sick. The Bible says, right? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We all can do it. But here's the deal. My level of honor towards God's gifts to us will determine whether or not we get to see God's gifts to us. If I don't believe or have enough faith to embrace the administration of how God wants to do his work in us, if I choose to look at people and pick and choose to say, well, I want to receive from him, but I don't want to receive from her. I want pastor to pray for me. If pastor doesn't pray for me, I want nobody else to pray for me. If we don't understand that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, is the same Spirit that lives in me, lives in you once you say yes to him, that we all have access to the promises of God, it's all yes and amen. But my dishonor will cause me to miss an opportunity Jesus could do is lay his hand at work in another person's life. All Jesus could do is lay his hands on just a few people. Just a few people. This shows us laying on of hands is just, that's like minimal. That's minimal stuff to the supernatural. I can sit here and lay hands on everybody in this church. Not everybody in here, a few of you guys are going to get healed. Why? Because God has placed upon me a healing anointing. And the healing anointing can work with or without your faith. But the question is not whether or not you can experience healing. The question is, can you keep it? Can you keep it? You can cast out a devil from a person. But if that person doesn't know how to sustain their freedom, that demon will come back in, Jesus said, and will come back but 7 times more of what was in there before. So this is why I spend time teaching you, so that you can keep what God can give to you. But I want to end off around here. God says you need to pursue what I promised you. That's the word of the Lord for you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Look at somebody next to you and say, pursue what God promised you. Find somebody else. Say, pursue what God promised you. Find one more person. Say, pursue what God has promised you. Hallelujah. You can't be passive in this season. And I just preach to you about the promise of healing. So you know what happens now in the spirit realm? You become responsible for that which you know. Yeah. And you know what the enemy is going to do? Test you on what you know. So don't be surprised you wake up with some pain around your body. Don't be surprised somebody around you is going to come to you and talk about some sicknesses or something. They feel wrong. They feel wrong. They feel bad. They feel diseased. They feel uncomfortable. Something is going on. Why? Because the enemy is going to steal the seed of this word that was now sown into your life. That's what Jesus said happens, right? The word comes and the birds of the air come to try to take out that word so that it won't produce in you what it was intended to produce. This is how you go from faith to faith. Yeah. You got to learn how to now protect and guard the revelation. Yeah. God wants to protect it, guard it. Don't let anything come in now. God wants to birth some faith in you about healing and faith in you for breakthrough and deliverance. And then you're going to have some knucklehead man on the street talk to you and tell you that healing is not for today. Miracles don't happen today. Come on, things, that stuff don't work today. You're a fool to believe that God can still heal you. Come on. Go to the doctor, get medicated. Don't be a fool. You're gonna wait for the pastor to lay hands on you? They're gonna talk you out of God's healthcare system. And talk you into a system that is not designed to heal you of your diseases. It's actually designed to teach you how to manage your diseases. You think the hospitals want you healed? You think the pharmaceutical companies want you healed? No, you're a cash cow to the healthcare industry. They want you sick and diseased. You want to run to the hospital every time you get sick. And I'm not knocking hospitals. Thank God for hospitals. But what is the goal? Where does God want us to be as his people? If we declare that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, the Lord who heals. If we declare that in the kingdom of God, there are no sicknesses, there are no diseases, and God has given us in his word methods. Listen to me, America, you got to wake up. Do you know that out the country, there are medicine-less hospitals?
Come on.
That out the country, there are hospitals where you don't get medicine. They give you alternative treatments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because medicine is not the solution all the time. But what? We've been trained to just go and get this poison and our toxin in our bodies.
Yeah.
But we should really be seeking the anointing of God and the Spirit of God to empower us. We want to know the principles of his word so we can learn what not to do so that we can keep ourselves from sickness and disease.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. As I close, Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. Matthew 11, verse 12. Hallelujah. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But the violent take it by force. God needs you to begin to develop a violence in your spirit. What type of violence I'm talking about? It's an aggression. There's an aggressiveness. You can't be all passive and cute all the time. You got to learn how to press in. You got to learn how to pursue. You got to learn how to be hungry. Hungry people don't care how they look when they're hungry. Come on. This woman with the issue of blood didn't care who was going to talk about her. She pursued. And when you pursue the promises of God, it's like there's a violence happening in the spirit realm. Because you know what? The gates of hell is now being pressed on. You are now pushing on those barriers. And when the enemy says, hey, sickness is on this side. Don't cross this line. Don't press on this gate. Because if you come here, you might get healed. So the enemy is going to keep that gate secure. But when you press in and say, no, I know the promise of God. I know what God has declared over my life. I know what Jesus Christ paid for. I know what the blood has purchased for me. I'm going after my healing, and I'm not taking a no for my answer, because all the promises of God are yes, are yes, are yes, are yes, and amen. Come on. But the kingdom has to suffer violence, because the enemy is going to make sure that the kingdom of God doesn't begin to pursue the promises of God, because Jesus put his kingdom in you. So once his kingdom is in you, now it wants to come out of you. But as long as he puts these gates of hell in the way, he's going to put cancer in the way. He's going to put oppression in the way. He's going to put these hindrances in the way. He's going to see who's going to really press in through that gate. Some of you are too intimidated. You're too impressed by a weak, defeated, disarmed devil. The Bible says that on the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He has no power. Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. All you got to do is now say, I'm going to raise up and I'm going to take this power in my hands and I'm going to take responsibility for what Jesus promised me. And it ain't going to come to you. You got to go for it. Jesus didn't go and find, oh, you're sick? Let me come and heal you. No. He said, I need to see your faith first. A blind man came to him. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? That would have offended some of you. Because you would have said, what you mean what I want? I'm blind. But what was Jesus looking for? What was he looking for? His faith. So once he said, I want you to heal me, Jesus touched his eyes and said, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith. Come on, this next season, God says it's going to be according to your faith, not my faith, not your pastor's faith, not your best friend's faith. It's going to be according to your faith. Come on, what do you have the faith to pursue? What do you have the faith to go after? What do you have the faith to reach for? Come on, come on. Hold on. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Hold on, watch this. Last verse, Matthew 4:17. Jesus said, repent. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. Watch this. The kingdom is at hand. Religion made that sound like, oh, it's in the future somewhere. No. It's at hand. It's available. It's right now. But it's at arm's reach. It's available. It's accessible. But it's just at hand. So what happens? If it's at hand, what do I have to do? Extend my hands. Reach in and take possession of it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Healing is at hand, church. Deliverance is at hand. Come on. Provision is at hand. Everything that's in the kingdom is at hand. It's your responsibility to extend your hand and reach into heaven and claim what God says you can have. That reach, that pursuit is your faith. You can't be passive in this season. You got to disrupt your comfort zones. You come to church and you expect the man of God to do everything for you. No, God says, no, your expectation, your pursuit, your passion, your zeal, your enthusiasm. I want you to bring that into me. Bring that. I want to see you reach. I want to see you pursue. I want to see you go after. And don't make excuses as to why God can't do it for you and say it's the sovereignty of God or say it's for somebody else. No, the promises are yes and amen. They're yes and amen. They're yes and amen for you, for you, for you, for you. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, receive it. Come on, I want you to reach, reach, reach. Come on, reach. The kingdom is at hand. It's at hand. It's at hand. It's at hand. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm not taking no. I'm not taking a no. Come on, I know who I am. I know what I have. I know what I got access to. I know what I can claim. Come on, come on. That breakthrough you need is at hand. Whoa. The miracle you need is at hand. Whoa. I said the breakthrough you need is at hand. Come on, come on, come on. Reach, 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 reach. You've been reaching for medicine. You've been reaching for the doctors. You've been reaching for the wrong places. You've been reaching too low. Come on, reach, reach, reach. God said, I'm going to pull some of you out of some stuff right now. I'm going to pull you out and pull you in to my realm. Oh, come on, God is pulling some of you out of depression right now. God is pulling you out. Woo! Whoa, mama Maria Maya. Come on, come on. Get this birth in your heart today. Come on, get this birth into your heart today. Come on. Come on, just stop believing and start pursuing right now. The enemy puts a little gate in the way, and then you run away. You say, oh, that gate looks scary. That gate looks scary. It's big and ugly. But who cares? The Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail. A violent church, an aggressive church, a church that won't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. Come on. God wants to train some of your hands to begin for battle. God needs to train you for war in this season. When you claim healing, you are entering in to the warfare dimension of the cross, because the devil isn't going to take your simple, wimpy prayers as a cue. He's persistent. But the enemy needs to see some of you put your foot down, begin to straighten up, and begin to say, I'm taking my inheritance. I'm taking my inheritance. Come on. I'm taking my inheritance. Say that with me. I'm taking my inheritance. Come on. I'm taking my inheritance. My again. I'm taking my inheritance.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.